Session number 12707, Captain Frank Brewis, Reel 8.
Captain HCF Brewis, Reel 8. How was your mess organised and ran, Captain Brewis?
The D Company mess, the first one I met with, was in a requisitioned house called Jesmond House, which was at the west end of West Hartlepool, and within a stone's throw, in fact, just over the road from Tunstall Court, which was the company headquarters and where the other ranks were billeted. We slept there, as well as ate there. It was not very formal. You might have gathered that from the Bulls game on the first evening. Jack Lawson, he was TA, but he wasn't a great stickler for mess rules. We'd been told nothing whatsoever at Octio about behaviour and conduct and standards in the mess. I remember the first one for a very brief while in the Market Hotel at Willington. I'd never realised that one took off one's Sam Brown on entering the mess. It didn't feel like a mess, it felt like a room, a downstairs room in a pub. At Jesmond House, I think the only really formal occasion I can remember was when my great pal Ian Turnbull's father came. He was the honorary colonel of the 8th Battalion. And although I'd heard something about women not being allowed in the mess, it was a bit more of a family occasion because Colonel Turnbull brought Ian's two sisters with him. But for the rest of it, it was pretty informal. One bod that we had, Lieutenant Tom Forrester, who'd been on attachment to the King's African Rifles for some time. He was a regular, and he put some of us in our places on occasion. Probably when we were larking about too much. On the occasions when I dined in the headquarters mess, it was obviously more formal in the presence of the colonel. Incidentally, we called company commanders and brother officers by their Christian names, whether they were field officers or whatever rank they were. And the CO in the mess was addressed as Colonel. As with the loyal toast, when we remained seated, the faithfulness of the Durhams being taken for granted, we didn't spring to our feet when the Colonel came into the mess. We had to remember when we were away on the odd occasion, which took us into a brigade mess. I lived at brigade much later on, and that was more formal. On the odd occasion in the divisional mess, that was organised into a series of messes. The one I was in on that MCO course was the B mess. and I think it was the GSO1 on the divisional staff was in charge of that mess.
Must be because of the large number of officers,
yes,
at divisional headquarters.
Yes, I don't know how far the alphabet went down. Presumably, the one where Major General Shears ate was the A mess, and this was the B one, and so on. Oddly enough, the mess sergeant was a Durham, a DLI board.
What was the role of the mess sergeant in the mess?
Oh, he was sort of major domo. Keep the to train and keep the officers' mess weight as a bleak stroke batman up to the mark. He was a brave mess sergeant who would tell the cook what to do. One of the officers, usually the second in command, at least it was in our unit, was the PMC, president of the mess committee. It was a general overall overseeing of the, all aspects of the mess, including, I think, a perusal of mess bills to see if the bar takings from any particular individual were getting a little bit out of line. Bar was quite popular. I remember on one occasion the RC Padre, who was with us throughout the war, coming in after a church parade on a particularly warm Sunday morning, and saying to the assembled crowd round the bar, "Ah, gentlemen, I see you have the thirst after righteousness." And another occasion when compulsory church parade one Sunday, voluntary one the next. And one self-righteous character sitting down to breakfast, having come back from a church parade, and announcing to the assembled throng of heathens that he had been on church parade that morning, and it's a voluntary morning too. And the padre just quietly lowered his Sunday morning newspaper and said, "Oh, so you'll want 100 watt halo for that then, Jim, will you?" Quite a friendly place, the mess. Sometimes a dagger's drawn over a game of poker. CEO didn't frown on mild gambling in the mess. PMC was quick to jump on it if it looked as though it was going to get out of hand. In the early days, there were no wild games in the mess, but in later days, after we were armoured, and our CEO was from the Gloucester Hussars, more of which later, then it did on occasion get pretty riotous.
Was there a traditional mess dress that you had to wear for your male meal times?
Well, our only alternative to battle dress was service dress. Because of the nature of our night work later on, it was relaxed somewhat, and nobody minded if one came in to dine in battle dress. If one was going out on night exercises shortly afterwards, but basically one was expected to turn up in service dress. Later on, when uniform was modified due to wartime restrictions, one lost the pouch pockets, for instance. It was just a plain flap pocket. The Sam Brown was replaced by a cloth belt. There was some of the younger officers who joined later on and saw us taking off Sam Brown's didn't know whether the cloth belt should be taken off as well. And we weren't sure either, but I think we told them without belt is the safest thing, whatever kind of belt it is. Food on the whole was good. By this time, when we were, I'm jumping ahead, I'm talking about much later on, partly with, I think it was probably partly with money out of the PRI funds, that's President of the Regimental Institute, although that was mainly for other ranks, comforts of one sort or another. Mainly, I think, by subscriptions from ourselves. We had... Oh, no, it was at Hartlepool. It was quite early on. We had bought some basic furniture, beds principally. In fact, I think only beds and mattresses. So that the sleeping arrangements were better than for the other ranks at that stage when they were still on palliasis. Later, they got the sort of standard issue double bunk wooden slatted beds.
Who was responsible for menus?
For?
Menus.
Mess sergeant.
Was that in consultation with
responsible. Mess sergeant probably did the donkey work in conjunction with the cook, but overseen by the PMC. But if he wasn't available, as he very often wasn't, it was a question of what turned up in the rations. I think there was some local buying of probably additional fresh vegetables and possibly fruit when it was obtainable. But the rations issued to the mess were, to the best of my knowledge, the same rations that the rest of the company got. I mean, the basic. There would be some frills. It was probably tarted up a bit. It was probably a bit better cooked because it was being cooked in smaller quantity. I remember once being orderly officer, and this is only by way of contrast with the officer's mess. We didn't have to do any washing up. But having been orderly officer and gone round the lunchtime meal, and no complaints, except I noticed that it was pork that day, and there was a little Jewish boy from Whitechapel who was among the Cockney intake that we'd had, who was looking a little disconsolate, and he was restricting himself to vegetables. So I asked him if I could get him something else, you know. And he looked at me quizzically, and I said, "The pork?" He says, "Go, blimey, sir, don't bother yourself about that. No, I could face anything. I had a right skin for last night, and I just, and food. Nah, take it away, sir." But what I was really getting onto was the two Dixies with, at the outset, hot water. Three Dixies, one for the scraps, one to get most of the gunge off, and one to rinse. And there were loud complaints to me from the tail end Charlies that A, it wasn't hot, and B, by the time it got to the rinsing one, it was of the consistency of the gravy that it had at the meal. What else about food?
The messing again. Did you have an allowance to pay into the messing fund, your own messing fund?
No. For a long time, a second lieutenant was on, an unmarried second lieutenant was on 11 shillings a day, which compared with the troops 14 shillings a week. A married second lieutenant had a marriage allowance of 3 shillings a day. I'm beginning to wonder now, after you ask that, whether the mess bill was purely for booze. You should get a mess bill once a month. Now that you come to mention it, it might have been a share out of expenditure on little bits of extras. Could be, but on that point, I'm not at all certain.
And you settled your mess bill at the end of every month.
Mm.
What happened with those who couldn't settle or could only part pay? Was it carried forward? Or was there a warning given at some stage?
PMC was down on them like a ton of bricks. And it meant a very abstemious period till it was paid off. I don't think it happened, but there were one or two cases. It was kept, I wouldn't really know, it was kept pretty quiet if somebody was in the black for not settling his mess bill promptly.
You mentioned loyal toast. Was that at the end of every meal or at some stage on the main meal of the day?
It didn't happen in the company messes. A, not everybody could sit down together. There might be, somebody might be on a last round's inspection or something like that. Or, what certainly didn't happen when we were on the beaches, or I'm thinking about when we were back in billets in the sort of rest periods in between. No, I'm thinking of much later on, when we were in Hoddam Castle and had a huge dining room, and we all messed together and dined together. And then it was, what was it, from the PMC to Mr. Vice, the King. And when I did it, did I stand to say, "Gentlemen, the King," and then sat down again? I think I did. Just to drown the hubbub and draw attention. But the loyal toast was drunk sitting in the mess.
Were there any other toasts that you gave?
No, not that I can remember.
You come down for breakfast. What kind of time was breakfast on a morning?
Oh. First parade was either 8 or 8:15. So I think breakfast was 7:30. Lunch would be shortly after what the brigadier of much later on of 35 Tank Brigade, Army Tank Brigade, used to call gin to one. Lunch would be at 1:00. tea meal, variable, little memory of tea meal. I think dinner was usually at 8. Could be wrong. But I think so, 8.
You said that the batmen also were mess servants. Mm. And was this on a rota, or did all the batmen come in at one time?
Oh, in the company messes, it was only one on at a time. Loughran being an ex-regular wore a white jacket, but I don't think it was an issue. I think he'd hung on to his white jacket. I think he'd been a batman and officer's mess waiter in whichever regular battalion he'd been in before, first or second, probably the second.
Can we turn to leave? Were you getting leave at this period of time when you were in reserve?
Yes. I got a fortnight's leave in 1941 to get married. Having found out that it was etiquette to ask the colonel's permission to get married. And he said, yes, certainly. If you'll do one job for me before you go. And I'm getting married on the Monday. And this was on the Sunday. And his wife was down from Aberdeenshire, staying with her folks at a vicarage somewhere on the west side of Durham. All highly irregular. But Bruce is ordered to deliver a personal message from the personal letter from the colonel to his wife at said vicarage. And couldn't find the place at first. And I'm getting agitated because I was wanting to come up on an evening train. And I think I made it. I must have done. I got married anyway.
What date was this?
Now you've done it. 28th of July 1941. It'll be 50 years next year. DV. Leave was a bit spasmodic during the beaches stretch. Became easier subject to the demands of training and so on in the next phase. Living not very far away, I managed to squeeze in the odd weekend pass. At that stage, before we were married, I think I've already said that the coastal area was restricted, and I had to meet my girlfriend at Hartlepool Station so she could get off the platform. She came down and stayed. I seem to remember one little private hotel where she stayed. Stayed overnight on the Saturday night and went back north on the Sunday. So it was one night. No, she stayed two nights, Friday and Saturday. It was two nights accommodation and a tea meal for the two of us. And the bill was 12 shillings and sixpence.
Were you censoring mail?
No, not at that stage. No. On the leave question, of course, one had to be given for a weekend, a 48-hour ration card. And, of course, there were restrictions on the number of railway warrants. Railway warrants were usually just issued for, what shall I call it, the main periods of leave. I think the fortnight's marriage leave was a bit longer than usual. I don't think it varied for the Buds who lived in London and the South. I don't think they were compensated for the... It was just the look of the draw. They weren't compensated for the distance they had to travel. And I think probably the standard period was about 10 days.
Do you recall having difficulty getting men back that had gone on leave?
Yes, there were quite a few. I don't remember more than a handful of court martials for not only overstaying leave but desertion. With what, 900 men or thereabouts? There were bound to be a few bad eggs. They thought they'd cured one. It was in Charles Baudry's company. He was a bad un. He was a real wrong un. And he was always in trouble. He'd been in the glass house and that didn't seem to have any effect on him. And they tried an experiment. And they moved him in to help in the company officer's mess. Gave him a white coat, got him spruced up, and it worked for a while. Until Charles Baudry walked in the middle of the morning on an inspection of the cookhouse, and they found he was drying the dishes on one of his dirty singlets. He was booted out there pretty fast.
Do you recall his name?
I said he was a wrong un, but his name was right. This is nothing to do with what we're talking about, but at a later stage I remember another character, a real character. He was should have been sent on the sanitary course. He was in charge of the buckets, and at that stage we had a long line of wooden latrines. And Joe Davis was his company commander. And he was engaged in his after breakfast morning sit down when Charlie Barris comes up. And Charlie Barris had hands like shovels, and when he saluted, it covered the most of his face. And he didn't sort of pick the right time or the right place, but he marches up, gives this ham fisted salute, and says, "Oh, can I have an interview?" And well, Barris, it's hardly the time or the place. You better see me in the company office. So later on. "Now, Barris, what's the trouble?" "It's them buckets, sir. I'm sick of them buckets. Can I have a different job?" "Well, what have you in mind? Any chance of being a batman, sir?" "I think we've got our full complement, Batman." "A job in the officer's mess kitchen?" "No, I don't think so, Barris. No, definitely not. Anyway, it's no use putting in for a commission, is it, sir?" Where were we? Sorry for the digression. The officer's mess, I think we've covered that pretty well.
I was going to ask you, as an officer, from time to time, you would be involved in punishing men.
Oh, yes, we're talking about. Well, when I was acting company commander, this was the first sort of experience of it. And fortunately, I never came across anything very serious. And it was, I don't recall dishing out anything more than a few days CB. I sat on quite a number of court martials myself.
Do you recall any?
But
Do you recall any?
They were not within the unit. There were one particular one at North Allerton. And on that occasion, it was foolishness that had got this lad into trouble. I don't think he was a bad soldier at all. But I think it was girl trouble. He'd had a row with his girlfriend. He'd overstayed his leave. He'd gone on the booze. He got mixed up with the police, and they'd brought him back in handcuffs. He'd just gone berserk. But it wasn't planned. It was something that had brewed up out of very little, really. And I forget what he got. I think he got 27 days detention, and that annoyed me. But I was the junior one on the board. The whole point about 27 days detention is, if you're sentenced to 28, you can get some remission. But if you're sentenced to 27, you couldn't. Had to do the whole.